Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all kinds of health issues on your mind and in your life, from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. What we will do first is clarify what osteopathic medicine means, as we do for new listeners every time. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or that between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but is not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal issues, post-concussive syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many, many other problems. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me remind you that you can listen to all of the prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel, etc., etc., by going to the Goldman Tripp website, www.goldmantripp.net. Click on the radio show icon there, then scroll down and click on the individual show by topic. There are more than 40 shows available. You can also get the most recent show podcasts on the Robinhood Radio website itself in the on-demand section. It's a miracle of technology. Today, we're going to continue to explore the lungs and respiration. Again, it's a very large topic. And this time of year, when we're indoors in heated and insulated environments, and we're likely having more exposure to colds and other respiratory illnesses, it's a really good time to think about respiratory health. In the first lung show, we looked in detail at the anatomy of the lungs and the respiratory system. Last time, we went into more detail on some aspects of structure and function and explored the physiology of how breathing works. Today, we'll begin looking at some of the common diseases and problems that we can develop. But first, we're going to have a review from the other shows because there's so much material to keep in mind. So let's start with that brief review. Recall that we have a pair of lungs that make it possible for us to breathe. Breathing, or more formally, respiration, is the process of inhaling oxygenated air, which then transfers the oxygen to our blood. and exhaling deoxygenated air that contains the excess carbon dioxide delivered back to the lungs from the blood. The job of the lungs is primarily to deliver oxygen to the blood and remove CO2 from the blood through breathing. The special proximity of tiny blood vessels, called capillaries, to the lung air sacs, called alveoli, makes this all possible. Oxygen, of course, is essential for all of our cells to live and function, and removal of excess CO2 is also essential for survival. Our airways carry fresh, oxygen-rich air down through the trachea, which is our main airway from our nose to our mouth, and into the lungs, via all the airway branches called bronchi during inhalation. They carry old, oxygen-depleted, CO2-rich air out of the lungs with exhalation. The alveoli sit like clusters of grapes, or little balloons, at the ends of the tiny bronchial airways, and the alveolar sacs are separated from each other by tiny elastic membranes, again like little balloons. Surrounding these alveoli are networks of those tiny blood vessels called capillaries. These tiny vessels allow for direct gas exchange between the blood and the alveoli. This means that CO2 can be released from the deoxygenated blood that has been returned by the capillaries and pass into the alveoli, and this CO2 can then be exhaled from the little air sacs through the airways and out of our nose or mouth. Then as we inhale new fresh oxygenated air through our nose and airways and down into the alveoli, the blood inside the capillaries can then absorb that new oxygen from the alveoli from the fresh air just inhaled into the lungs. This oxygenated blood can then be delivered to the heart and then is pumped out into the body. Each time the heart beats in a full cycle, oxygenated blood flows from the lungs to the heart and out into the body, and deoxygenated blood flows from the heart into the lungs to release CO2 to be exhaled and then be reoxygenated by our inhaled air. The heart and lungs are deeply related and interdependent. The left side of the heart receives newly oxygenated blood directly from the lungs and pumps it out to the entire body, including the heart muscle itself, through the arteries. The right side of the heart receives deoxygenated blood from the great veins. The veins collect deoxygenated blood throughout the body and return it to the right atrium of the heart, that then pumps it out through the right ventricle back to the lungs through the pulmonary vessels. The word pulmonary refers to lungs. Once in the lungs, this venous blood can then be oxygenated and have the CO2 released, and then can be returned to the left atrium of the heart through a different set of pulmonary vessels to be dispersed out to the body again via the left ventricle. Each heartbeat pumps the blood to its next assignment, either as oxygenated blood to the body tissues from the left side of the heart, or as deoxygenated blood to the lungs from the right side of the heart. Anything that interferes with these mechanisms will put a strain on the heart and the lungs and can lead to cardiac-associated respiratory distress. There are many causes of respiratory distress, but cardiac causes are among the most serious and are a reflection of the integral relationship between the heart and lungs. Cardiac-related respiratory distress symptoms can include shortness of breath, especially with exertion or when lying down, swelling of your legs, ankles, feet, or abdomen, lightheadedness, fatigue, or coughing with foamy or pink-flecked spittle. Breathing is the process of inhaling followed by exhaling. In order to inhale, our diaphragm contracts and descends lower into our chest, creating changes in the pressure inside our chest that allows outside air to flow into our lungs all the way down to the little alveoli air sacs. As part of inhalation, all of our ribs and our sternum expand outwards through the actions of numerous muscles that attach to the ribs and sternum. You can imagine that if any of the ribs or the sternum are restricted and cannot move freely and normally, this can inhibit our ability to take in a good deep breath. Exhalation follows inhalation as the diaphragm relaxes and rises again, restoring baseline pressure in the chest and helping to expel the air now depleted of oxygen and heavy with carbon dioxide. The act of breathing is controlled by a very complex combination of conscious control through the central nervous system, for example, when we decide to hold our breath, and unconscious control from the autonomic nervous system, for example, while we're sleeping. And this is a fascinating subject in and of itself that we have to save for another show. But you can see how much of the body is involved with breathing and keeping the lungs freshly supplied with new air and relieved of stale air. Which brings us to today's topic of what can go wrong with this miraculous and complex system. In other words, the lung and respiratory system pathologies. There are hundreds of pathologies affecting the lungs and respiratory system. You can imagine that with all the coordinated moving parts, the relationship with the heart, the complex morphology and functions of the decreasing sizes of airways, the delicate membranes of the alveoli, the tiny blood vessels in between the alveoli, the diaphragm itself and associated membranes and fascias, as well as the muscles, bones, nerves, and all involved in breathing, that there is an almost infinite array of potential problems. Nonetheless, we spend most of our lives breathing normally and effectively through illnesses and injuries for upwards of 80 years. What an amazingly resilient system. Keep that in mind as we discuss these potential problems, and do be in awe of that human body's ecosystem and how well it is designed and works. Common problems of the respiratory system can be divided into infectious diseases caused by viruses, bacteria, fungi, or other microbes, and non-infectious disease caused by environmental or behavioral factors such as smoking, cancers, genetic, autoimmune, or other physiologic or cardiac conditions. Both infectious and non-infectious disease can settle into various tissues of the lung. Let's start with common infectious diseases. We'll delve into all those non-infectious diseases next time. Among the most common of infectious lung diseases is acute bronchitis. This is a sudden infection of the airways, usually caused by a virus, but sometimes it can be bacterial, that leads to a cough and inflammation of the airways. Viral bronchitis is generally self-limiting, meaning it should resolve on its own with rest and good self-care in otherwise healthy adults. Bacterial bronchitis is also usually self-limiting. However, there are severe cases that may require antibiotics. Recall that antibiotics are effective against bacteria and are not effective against viruses or fungi. Occasionally, bacterial bronchitis may occur following a prolonged viral bronchitis as a secondary infection, where the persistence of inflammation and secretions in the airways makes a good breeding ground for the bacteria. Pneumonia is any infection of the alveoli air sacs, usually by bacteria, but it can also be viral or fungal. Pneumonias can range from mild to severe and can result in death if not cared for. Fluid accumulates in the little alveolar sacs, preventing the normal gas exchange and respiration. So a severe pneumonia can result in literal suffocation, as if the patient was drowning. Patients become very short of breath. Pneumonias can be caused by many infectious agents with a varying array of symptoms, but shortness of breath and easy fatiguing are common to all pneumonias. Pneumonias are most easily diagnosed by a physician or other expert healthcare professional listening to your breathing with a stethoscope and/or with a simple chest x-ray. The so-called walking pneumonia usually is due to a specific bacterium called Mycoplasma pneumoniae. This pneumonia often has milder symptoms than others, but it does need attention and care. A rare fungal pneumonia, called pneumocystis pneumonia, can typically occur in immunocompromised people, especially AIDS patients. Tuberculosis is a particular kind of slowly progressive pneumonia caused by the bacteria Mycobacterium tuberculosis. It is a highly infectious and complex multi-phase disease that can affect different parts of the body and lead to death. It requires urgent and intensive medical care. Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases can manifest with respiratory symptoms, especially shortness of breath, particularly due to musculoskeletal restrictions in the diaphragm and chest muscles. Lyme and other tick-borne illnesses are rampant in our area. If you suspect these diseases, it's urgent that you're seen by a physician. With all of these infectious diseases, the normal functioning of the diaphragm and respiratory muscles is crucial to help move and clear the lungs of fluids and microbes. The airways are lined with tiny, waving, hair-like structures called cilia that constantly move fluids, microbes, and debris up and out of the airways, like tiny internal soft brushes. Cilia are slender, microscopic, hair-like structures or organelles that extend from the surface of many mammalian cells. They are, for example, also found in the human ear, eye, and kidney. They are essential cleaning agents at the cellular level. At the organismal level, however, excursion of the human diaphragm assists the lungs with their self-cleaning through the associated pressure changes and motions of the tissues during inhalation and exhalation. This is one of the reasons why bedbound people are more susceptible to pneumonias, as their diaphragm and other thoracic musculature has restricted motion for a significant period of time. It is essential that the normal functioning of all of the moving parts of the respiratory system, the diaphragm, ribs, and the muscles and bones of the chest, shoulders, and neck, is maintained to ensure good health and recovery from illnesses. Which brings me back to osteopathy and to the close of today's show here with a reminder that an osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be particularly helpful for respiratory issues of all kinds, working gently with our hands, with the involved organs, nerves, vasculature, fascias, capsules, and associated tissues to release restrictions in the physical tissues of the lungs, airways and diaphragm, and blood and lymphatic flow, as well as to help balance the autonomic nervous system function based on anatomical detail, and to help with nutritional issues and support for whatever procedures you may be going through. Recall that all of the respiratory system is a complex physical entity with connections between all the parts that need to be open, flexible, and moving freely, with excellent neural conduction from the nerves, optimal arterial and venous blood flow, and lymphatic drainage to remain healthy, vital, and functioning normally. Well, here we are, having run out of time again. We'll explore more of the problems of the lungs in the next show. Meanwhile, thank you for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we're at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut. Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. I'll look forward to being with you next time. Meanwhile, take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.